Love you.
Amen.
There you go.
Thank you, Pastor. It's good to be in God's house this morning. Great to be in a church that loves missionaries. Amen. I thank God that He's called me. My wife, Susan, would stand this morning. I'm glad to have her. Little, amen. Met her at Southwestern Assemblies of God University 33 years ago. She asked me about 2 weeks before we got married, are you going to be a missionary? And about 25 years later when I decided, she wasn't quite as excited. Amen. But she was raised in one of the best mission churches in the Assemblies of God, Tri-County Assembly of God, in Cincinnati, Ohio. Her pastor was Pastor Rosenberg, and missions was in her heart. But it's a joy to share with you this morning what God is doing, and I will introduce our other guests in just a few moments. But thank you for supporting the Dodd and help us touch the country of Belize. If you have your Bibles this morning, turn to the book of 2 Kings, chapter 7. I want to talk to you today about the day of good news. The day of good news. 2 Kings chapter 7 and verse 9. We will share that with you this morning, our text. Then they said one to another, "We are not doing right. This day is a day of good news. And if we remain silent, if we wait until morning light, some punishment will come upon us. Now therefore come, let us go and tell the king's household." The day of good news. This is what I want you to do. Look at your neighbor this morning and tell them, this is the day of good news. This is the day of good news. In this passage of scripture, the story is told of four lepers. They are sitting at the entrance of the gate, and they say, "Why do we sit here until we die?" See, these lepers, they are deformed, they are destroyed, they are isolated, they are fatal, they are incurable, and they are dying, and they have no hope. It's like many people in the world today without Jesus Christ. Do you know there are 2 billion people who have never heard of Jesus Christ? They have no hope. They're in deception, and they are bound for eternal destruction unless they find Jesus Christ. Because I believe this morning that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. There's no way you can get to heaven except by Jesus Christ. And like these four lepers, there is a world out there, and this church has chosen to help touch that world. From the heart of this pastor and from the heart of these people, you are supporting missionaries to touch the world with the message of Jesus Christ. Met a young man 30 years ago. His name was George Valco. On a Monday morning 31 years ago, one of the deacons of Calvary Temple Assembly of God in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, walked to the church early on a Monday morning to pray. There was a young man on that porch in a drunken, alcohol, drug-induced stupor that had slept on the porch of that church all night. When the deacon saw him, he said, "Sir, if you would come into the church, I will give you a pair of shoes and a coat, and I will tell you about a ministry that will change your life." Now, this young man was destroyed, he was isolated, and no one cared for him. He came into that church, and he said, "Son, if you'll come back tonight, I want to tell you about a ministry that can change your life. It's a ministry that's called Teen Challenge. Come back tonight, for when Susan and I go back to Belize, we are beginning Teen Challenge International of Belize. We are believing that God..." Amen. Come on. Amen. Those of you who are familiar with Teen Challenge, for 40 years it has been changing lives. This man named George Valco went through a Teen Challenge program. I met him at Southwestern Assemblies of God University. He graduated and he moved to Brooklyn, New York, and became the director of the Brooklyn Teen Challenge, following Don Wilkerson there. After he had been there 20 years, 4 years ago, Calvary Temple Assembly of God, within the shadow of the great baseball stadium in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, needed a pastor. And you'll never guess who they called. They called George Valco. The man who 30 years before, who had been laying on the porch of the church in a drunken alcohol stupor, is now the pastor of Calvary Temple Assembly of God in Pennsylvania, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. That's what Jesus Christ can do in a person's life. Can you say amen? These lepers had two plans. They said, we can stay here and die, or we can surrender to the enemy. The Bible says that they arose, and they found food, and they found gold, and they found clothing. God supernaturally intervened in their behalf, as you read the story, and the Syrians believed that a great army was coming against them. Now see, you have to understand the whole picture of this story. The Israelites were locked inside of their city, trapped by the army, and had no food, and they were in desperate straits. But these lepers, which are outside, which are isolated, find food and find clothing and find silver and gold, is what the Bible says. And the Bible says that they're sitting there enjoying this and even taking some of it and hiding it. But then in verse 9, which was my text, they look at each other and they say, we are not doing the right thing, for this is the day of good news. See, for they had found food. Do you not remember when you found Jesus Christ? He is the bread of life. He says, I am the bread of life. The very city where he was born, Bethlehem, means house of bread. He was the bread that was broken. He was the bread that was to begin to multiply. And he is the resurrection and the bread. And on this Sunday morning, you can find food through Jesus Christ. The lepers sit there and they have two choices. And this is what I want to center in on this morning. They could keep it to themselves. They had gold. They had silver. They had food. They were the outcast of life. There would be no risk. You know, if you keep it to yourself, there's no risk. You know, but this morning, if you decide to respond to the faith promise, if you decide to see what God would have you do, you will trust God for the supernatural providence of your faith promise. Because God this morning will speak to some of you and say, will you give more? Will you respond with more than you ever have before in your life? And I want to tell you something. God will provide. It's so easy to hide the bread. It's so easy to keep it to ourselves. It's so easy to be comfortable. But they had the second choice. They could go and tell the good news and give it to others. You have two choices this morning. You can keep it to yourself, or you can go and share the good news and give it to others. What will be your choice this morning? See, for in the Bible, even in the text we read earlier this morning, it says in the New Testament, the good news is called the gospel. How many knows the gospel is good news? I have preached to cultures. I have preached to villages where the gospel has never been declared. And the first time a person hears the gospel, they respond to it because it's good news. You take a person, they've never had good news. They're broken. I want to tell you this morning, if you're here today, the gospel is good news. If you do not know Jesus Christ, the gospel is good news. And in the gospel, there are four things about the good news. There is salvation. There is healing. There is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And there is the second coming of Jesus Christ. We in the Assemblies of God are known as the people of the full gospel. Amen. And we believe in these four things. The first one I want to talk about this morning, and I'm going to talk about all of these, but is healing. You know, Susan and I were here about over 4 years ago on a Sunday morning, and things were different. I had my two daughters with me and my niece. One of my daughters' name was Jill, the other name was Judith. I became a missionary. I was in Costa Rica, San Jose, Costa Rica, on a Saturday morning a little over 3.5 years ago. My son calls me on the phone, and this is what he says to me. He says, Dad, he says, Jill is dead, and they have placed Judith on a helicopter, and she will not live. They are taking her to Parkland Hospital in Dallas, Texas. I'm in another country I cannot get. I am devastated. I have awoke that morning. I have prayed. My 24-year-old daughter, who teaches school in Grand Prairie, Texas, is in heaven. And my 21-year-old daughter, which you see your picture, see her picture right there, is in the hospital. And my son is telling me she will not live. Folks, that's a crisis. But I want to tell you, we serve a healing Jesus. For on Sunday morning, we could not fly back from Costa Rica till Sunday afternoon. But on Sunday morning, a church in Dallas, Texas, anointed a prayer cloth. And they sent one of the vice presidents of Southwestern to the Parkland Hospital with a prayer cloth to lay it upon Judith about 9 o'clock in the morning. When they arrived at the hospital, they walked off the elevator, and a little Hispanic lady met them and said, follow me. She didn't ask them any questions. She didn't ask them who they were looking for. She simply said, follow me, and that she took them straight back to my daughter's room. No one could go in because her head was swelled. You can see she weighs about 110 pounds, but you thought she would have weighed 150 to 180 pounds. Because of the brain swelling, and the doctor says if she does live, she will be permanently injured. She will never have her full mental capacity. Jay went into the hospital that morning, and they laid that prayer cloth on her. That little Spanish lady pastor disappeared. Nobody ever saw her again. I happen to believe she was an angel. Amen. They laid that prayer cloth upon my daughter's body and began to pray. As they begin to pray, the healing virtue begin to flow into Judah's body. We arrived on that Sunday afternoon, and I took her hand. And as I took her hand, I said, Judith, do you know me? And she squeezed my hand back. 2 days later, she was walking. Amen! Amen! A month later, she's back at Southwestern Assemblies of God University. The doctor said she don't need to go back to school because she won't be able to keep up with her classes. But I want to tell you, she graduated in May with honors. She was crowned Miss Southwestern, and she is perfectly whole today. Amen. Jesus Christ is a healer. And she married a young guy that graduated from Oklahoma State University, and he is a... Amen. Amen! Here's a fan right here. They live in Houston, Texas, and this morning she's the praise and worship. With her neurosurgeon about 2 weeks later, and he said, sir, we cannot understand why your daughter recovered so quickly. It must be her DNA. It must be in her genes. And I'll never forget what I told Dr. George. I said, Dr. George, it is her G-O-D. Amen. This is a day of good news. And part of the day of good news is the fact that when we give it away, Jesus Christ is a healer. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the God who forgiveth all of our iniquities and healeth all of our diseases. Amen. And I want to tell you right now, I feel a healing virtue of Jesus Christ flowing through this sanctuary. And if you need a healing touch in your body, just stand to your feet right where you're at. Come on. I feel God wants to heal somebody in this place right now. I loose the healing virtue. Raise your hands toward heaven right where you're at. God, in the name of Jesus Christ, heal my sister. I loose the... Folks, I'm going to tell you, the power of the Holy Ghost is flowing through this place. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of His peace was upon us, and with His stripes we are made whole. Claim your healing right where you're standing today. Amen! Stand upon the Word of God. Oh, look at that smile on that girl's face. You would never know that her head was swelled. You would never know she laid between death. Her comatose level was 3. And Jesus Christ came down and touched her in the hospital bed. Every day I give Him glory. It makes me want to shout hallelujah. It makes me want to say glory, glory. And I want to tell you that God who did it for me will heal your sick body, every one of you this morning. Thank you. God bless you, and you may be seated. Amen. I want to tell you the next thing that this involves. It involves the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I have a picture back here on the wall of one of my favorite pastors in Belize. I wish I could take you to Belize. He pastors in a village called Mayo Maipan. Simple thatch roof. His name is Catherino. And he's 37 years old, and he has 9 children. And he may have some more. There's his dear wife. He is a Mayan Indian. And in this village, there is a Assembly of God church and also Assembly of God school with over 250 students in it. Amen. The only school in the village. This church that he now pastors about 6 years ago had no pastor. It was in disarray. There'll be over 200 people there in that church this morning and tonight. Pastor Catherino stands beside me. But God spoke to him and he said, I want you to pastor this church. He had never been to Bible school. He had never studied the Bible. He'd just been merely a man that had been saved a few years, and he didn't know much about God. And he said, God, if you want me to pastor this church, I've got to go to Bible school. Now, from his village in Mayo Maipan, he don't have a car. They cook over an open fire. In fact, for his wife to marry him, she had to be able to build her own stove. Some of you women might be in trouble, huh? Amen. She makes the best beans and rice over that stove. Amen. I was preaching a funeral for him last year. And they made me the nicest glass of orange Kool-Aid. And it was ice cold, and I drank that Kool-Aid. But I forgot that water came from my pan system. And I'm going to tell you, for about the next 3 days, I rode the porcelain pony. If anybody knows, Pastor Dominique, when you bring the kids to Belize, we talked about it, they will drink water and Coca-Cola. Amen. That's one experience I just soon forget about my pan. But Pastor Catherino said, God has called me to go. Now, this man makes about $25 a week. That's all he makes. I'm actually Belize money, which is a 2-to-1 change, so it's about $12.50 a week. Now, from Mayo Maipan to Belize City is a 6-hour ride by bus. And to ride that bus, it cost $25. But the Holy Spirit spoke to this man, and he said, I want you to be pastor of this church. And I want you to prepare yourself. So the first week he has the $25 and he goes. He leaves on Monday morning. He comes back Friday evening to his village. The second week he has the $25 and he goes and comes. But the third week he does not have the $25. And he goes to his board and he says, could you guys help me go to Bible school since I'm now pastor of this church and I've got to study the Word of God? They said, sure. And for 1 week, the church has the $25, but it comes the fourth week. He does not have the money, and the church does not have the money. And on Monday morning, he goes and climbs on the bus, and he tells the bus driver, he says, if you will let me ride the bus, I will pay you Friday when I get back home.
And the bus driver looks at him and says, Catherino, I notice this is the fourth week in a row you've been climbing on the bus and going to Belize City. What are you doing? He says, well, God, the Holy Spirit, God has called me to be pastor of the church, and I have to go train and prepare myself for ministry. And that's what I'm doing. I'm going to the Assembly of God Bible School every week in Belize City. And Catherino goes to school all week, and Friday he climbs back on the bus, and he still does not have the $25. $25 to him is like $1,000 to much of us. And when he climbs on the bus, the bus driver looks at him and gives him a letter. And this is what the letter says. As long as you are attending the Assembly of God Bible Institute in Belize City, you have free passage every week for the next 3 years.
Amen! For 3 years, let me tell you, he went to Bible school every week for free, supernaturally, when the Holy Spirit begins to call us. Amen. The next thing about these good news, you can keep it or you can give it away. It's the second coming of Jesus Christ. You know, I have a daughter in heaven. I was praying this week, Pastor, and I got excited about heaven. You know, I used to just think about heaven, you know. But if you got somebody there, a mom or a dad or a child, let me tell you, I get excited about walking through the gates of that city. When I hear that song, I entered the gates of that city and my loved ones all met me there. Let me tell you, tears of joy flow down my heart, for someday I'm going to walk through the portals of glory. I'm going to have the big picture. Oh, I miss her, but I'm not sad or depressed or angry or mad at God. Let me tell you, God's still in charge, because someday I will see Jill again and we'll dance and stroll all over heaven, Pastor. Amen! Hallelujah! Amen! We used to sing a song, brother, called Everybody Will Be Happy Over There. And let me tell you, when I see Jill, get out of my way, because I'm going to have me a little shout. Amen! Hope it don't make you nervous. Amen! Woo! Hallelujah!
It's the good news.
It's the good news. The leper said, we cannot keep this to ourselves. Church, you cannot keep it to yourself. In a few moments, we're going to ask you to respond. And we're going to ask you to give to missions and support missionaries around the world. That you'll support 100, then 120. Let me tell you, you think this pastor and this church is going to quit with 100? Come on!
Because you're not going to keep it, you're going to give it away. You got two choices. The leper said, we got to go tell everybody else about this food and about this gold and about this silver. And there's a whole city that's starving, and there's a whole world that needs Jesus Christ. The last thing about this good news, it is the message of salvation. And I have with me this morning a direct product of Assembly of God Missions, who was saved because of Assembly of God Missionary. Sister Ruth Pipersburg, I want you to come here. Give her a good welcome. This lady pastors a church that's not much bigger than this corner right here. And she'll put 300 kids in there. You ought to be in there with them.
Woo, it's hot.
Sister Ruth, how long have you been pastor of Trinity Assembly of God?
Over 10 years now.
Greet the people this morning, would you?
Amen. First, I want to greet you in the name of Jesus. This is the day where God make. I said this is the day where God make. I'm talking a little bit of Creole to you this morning. This is the day that the Lord has made. And I'm a product of mission. I'm a product of missionary in Belize. See, I came from a family of 15, I'm the last girl. All my sisters were saved, but I wasn't saved. I had a sister who have gotten married, and she was 26 years old and was diagnosed with cancer. I thought that we would all grow old and then die, and I would have accepted the Lord when I was old, and just before I die, I would have accepted the Lord. And at the age of 26, I saw my sister dying from cancer. And she said to me, Ruth, you see, I'm going to say goodbye to you, but I tell my other sisters I'll see them later. And I thought in my mind, I said, you're crazy. Why are you saying that? My sister died the 13th of December. The 26th of January, there was a missionary that came to town. And there was a revival that was going on at Central Assembly of God Church. I have not been in church for many years because I did not want it to go. But when my sister died, I realized that I could die also. And this missionary stand behind the pulpit, just like brother is doing. And he said, what assurance do you have that if you will live to see another day tomorrow? What assurance you have that if you walk out on the street and if something will knock you down, that you're going to heaven? I have heard the word of God, but that night it made a difference within my life. And I got up and I went to the altar, and with tears, I gave my life to the Lord. And I asked God one thing. I said, please don't ever let me turn back. Church, God have allowed me to grow within his presence. I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit at a youth camp. Missionaries again came to my country. And they preached the word of God, and I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. After that, God said to me, I called you out. And God called me out of a beautiful church and take me to a church where there were nothing. We were under a tent. There was just children that were there. And God let that church grow, that now I have over 400 children. My building is small. I have a youth ministry that is a powerful evangelism ministry. And one of the things that God did was to allow missionaries to implant within my life the word of God. I'm sitting down there this morning and I'm fighting back the tears because I said, you all care. You are pastor. You had the heart to give to me, to give to missionary, that I could have been saved, that God could have used me to be a pastor, to touch my nation. And now Belize is hearing the word of God because you the people had the heart to give, that I could be saved. And I want to say thank you. Thank you, and don't stop. Don't stop, because there are many more people that need to know, that need to hear, that need to know that Jesus have a purpose for their life. I didn't know that he had a purpose for my life. I didn't know that God wanted me. I didn't know that God could use me. But God sent the good news. God sent salvation. God sent someone to leave from their comfort zone and to come to a nation where there was flies and mosquitoes, where there was mud, where there was so many discomfort, to make a difference within my life. And at this present moment, I want to say thank God for placing it within your heart. Thank God for placing it within your heart to see the need to take the good news to someone else. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister Ruth. Amen. Amen. Praise him. Hallelujah. Because of your faith promises, this lady stands here today. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Come back tonight to our banquet. We're going to be talking about her church. One of the things we're going to do when we go back, God laid it on my heart. Everybody that comes through Belize, they bring many cruise ships, pastors that come through. I always take them by Sister Ruth's church. We're going to build her a new church. A two-story sanctuary, amen. Where she can put more kids. Let me tell you, she has many young ladies that come to her church. One of the big problems in Belize is pregnancy of young girls, 12 through 14 years old. But she told me that for the last 2 years in her church, there have been no pregnancies of young girls in her church. Amen. 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 If you're not planning on coming to the banquet tonight, come. And Sister Ruth is going to share. I'm going to show you pictures of her church and her building. It's in one of the most difficult places in Belize. But this woman will not leave. God has called her there. And she is touching African Belizeans and Hispanic kids and Korean and all cultures with the gospel of Jesus Christ. The lepers came and they had two choices. Do we hide all this gold? Do we hide all this silver? Do we keep it to ourselves? Or do we give it to others? And this morning you have two choices, amen? I want you to take your faith promise out. Would you do it now? Everyone in this place, take it out. Amen. You know what you're deciding? You're deciding like the lepers this morning. Will I keep it to myself or will I give it away? Some of you young people down here, God's going to speak to your heart to give. $10 a week, amen. Does anybody not have a faith promise this morning and need one? Amen. If you need one, somebody has some mustard. There's a couple of hands up in the plate. I want everybody to have one. Keep it up. We'll get you one. Give me some mustard. There's at least 10 people that need them. I know everybody needs a faith promise because there's some people here today that's going to decide to give it away. They're not going to keep it to themselves. Some of you for years have been faithful, but some of you are new. You've never given a faith promise. Nobody will dun you for this. Keep your hands up while our ushers come. Nobody will dun you for this. Nobody will ask you for this. It will be between you and God. We'll only total it up this morning. But you know what a faith promise is? It is asking God, how much can I believe to give to missions through my church the next year? And your pastor has said, if you would give $10 each week, it would be a supernatural abundance and everything could be taken care of. On this faith promise, it has a place where you can write your name. It has a place where you can write your address. It has a place where you can put your signature. And then it says you can do it weekly or monthly. And right now, I want you to take that faith promise and I want to pray and I want God to speak to your heart. This is a day of good news, is it not? Did you see the product of your giving to missions? Sister Ruth stands here. She impacts a nation. It excites me. We are talking about some of your youth coming to Belize. Let me tell you, we'll take you to her church one night, and your life will never be the same. But because you have made a commitment, you have made a faith promise through the missions program of my local church, we will see many more Ruths come to know Jesus Christ. Take that faith promise in your hand, and I'm going to pray now that God will begin to speak to your heart. Jesus Christ, the Son of God. You are the hope. You are the Savior of the world. There is none like you. For you have a name that is above every name. You are the only name given under heaven among men whereby we can be saved. Now, Holy Spirit, speak to the hearts of your people. Speak to the hearts of every young person, man, woman in this place. We are believing by faith for $100,000 or more for missions in this church the next year, the Rock. You have put this in the heart of the pastor, the leadership, the missions board, and this people. And God, I pray this morning they will decide to give it away. This is the day of good news. Can we remain silent? Let us go and tell the bound and the handicapped and the lepers and the hurting and the suffering. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Take that faith promise right now and fill it out. You know, today,
If I could take you to where there's been a hurricane, or where there's been an earthquake, any place in the world, or where there's been war and savage destruction, like places in Nicaragua and El Salvador and places in Belize where there's been hurricanes. You know what? You'd see no Buddhists there. You'd see no Hindus there, Pastor. You'd see no communists there. You know who's there helping people? Christians. Convoy of Hope, Youth with the Mission, this man out of Oklahoma City, Feed the Hunger. That's who they're. They're there helping people, amen. You know why? Because we're going to give it away. We're not going to keep it all to ourselves. We're going to be like these lepers. We're going to rise on this Sunday morning. The Rock Assembly of God is going to say, this is the day of good news, the day of the gospel. It's the day of salvation, the day of healing, the day of the Holy Spirit, and the day of the second coming of Jesus Christ. And we're going to put it down and we're going to give it away this morning. Can you say amen? Take that, fill it out. Pastor, would you come this morning?